Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio. I'm Karen Nowicki, the president and CEO of Phoenix Business Radio X in Max 6 and the Conscious Capitalism Workspace in Tempe, Arizona. And today, clearly, there's a lot of background noise, so we're not in the studio. We are at the SciTech Institute STEM and Innovation Summit. And boy, has it been a fantastic day. We're out at the Scottsdale Center for the Arts, and we have had educational sessions. We've had legislature speaking, private, public sector. It's just been phenomenal, along with several vendors who are all out here supporting workplace readiness as it relates to science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and manufacturing, however you want to have that M teed up in the acronym STEM. And with me right now for this segment are two professionals who are here supporting the event today, and also I'm willing to bet here to get something for their own organizations and their businesses as well. So if we can start and have Al, if you'll introduce yourself first, please.
Hi, I'm Al Pajak. I'm a professional development facilitator with Treasures for Teachers, and I'm also on the planning committee for the Southwest Makerfest.
All right, so tell us, why is Treasures for Teachers here, and how is this important for everything that you guys represent?
Well, Treasures for Teachers is a clearinghouse for supplies that allow teachers to do projects with students. And so we're here twofold. One, to promote Treasures for Teachers as a resource for teachers and to encourage membership, but also to seek donations to help support these teachers.
And part of that is networking, right? We've got to let people know who we are and be out in the community. So that's why when I teed up the segment, I said, listen, we're here to serve, but we also know that we need to have some great connections as well.
Right.
And the other organization that you represent is the Makers...
Southwest Makerfest?
Yeah, speak to that.
The Southwest Makerfest is a day-long event. It happens once a year. This year it's scheduled for February 15th in downtown Mesa. And it's a community... Makers are a community of really creative people who like to share what they do with other people. And so it's kind of a celebration of creativity.
Wow, love it.
Yeah.
Great.
And we also have, we started 2 years ago promoting the idea that young makers are important. And so we began sending young makers. It's a little more competitive, but the young makers can go to the Science and Engineering Fair. So it's another avenue for them to go to AZCEF.
And when we use the word maker, it could be somebody who tinkers with just about anything, huh?
Right. Yeah, it could be fabric, it could be pottery, but it could also be electronics.
Okay, yeah. Great. And Willie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You've been so patiently waiting. Tell us a little bit about you and who you represent.
So my name is Willie Higgins, and I'm the apprenticeship director for the state of Arizona. And we're... proud partner of Arizona at Work, which is the workforce brand for the whole state and represents all of the 12 local areas in Arizona. And what I do is I create and develop registered apprenticeship programs and create career pathways for students, for veterans. And primarily that's why I'm here today, accompanying our veteran team and just exposing everybody to registered apprenticeship. I did a presentation upstairs for apprenticeship, so to get the word out about the variety and the flexibility of registered apprenticeships, all of the programs that we currently do, and all of the occupations that we're currently entering into.
And I'm feeling like this is the first time I'm hearing about the apprenticeship at the state level. The first thing that comes to mind is an apprenticeship as it relates to, I want to say, real estate and the...
Construction industry.
Yeah, it's more vast than that,
oh,
huh?
Oh, huge. Well, yeah, and that was accurate years ago, you know, but we've broke that dynamic down, and we're actually breaking into all new roles with healthcare. We're in hotel and in hospitality. Water treatment, for instance, which is absolutely essential to Arizona's livelihood, you know, so breaking into all non-traditional occupations. Lots of more female recruits. We're in the insurance industry. Again, as I say, healthcare, we're in CNAs, medical assistants, stuff like that. And growing. We're adding another person on our team. So now we have 4 members of the team in Arizona right now, which is fantastic. We've 204 registered programs. and 4,660 apprentices, which is the most we've ever had. So,
how do you find apprentices?
Well, we actually create the apprenticeship program, and through Arizona at Work and all of our local veterans employment representatives, our DVAPs, which are disabled veterans, and just the regular folks that are unemployed, we have access to all of the resumes on Arizona Job Connection, and then we can search through those resumes and recommend them to employers, and then they can go through the process of hiring.
And our apprenticeship, that doesn't mean paid opportunities.
Yes, it is paid from day one.
Wow.
Yep.
The two major components of registered apprenticeship are related training instruction and on-the-job training. And when you're working on the job, you're being paid. You then would attend school or college or correspondence courses or a combination of all of that for your related instruction. So, and that onus falls on the apprentice for that. But some of the programs have reimbursement for the apprentices. They would pay for them, and then the employer would reimburse them for that. The beauty of it is these occupations that we are creating right now lead to a nationally recognized credential, which is recognized in all 50 states and 3 territories. It's also signed by our governor and our secretary of state, and it carries a lot of weight with it. So that's the one thing, one good thing in the apprenticeship. It opens up all of the workforce doors. When we create a program for an employer, all of the workforce dollars that are spent in workforce, we bring to bear for that employer to help them recruit and everything else that they need, and supportive services for some employees that may require it, we supply those as well.
I'm fascinated. This is a whole new world for me.
Yeah, I imagine that you're making long-term employees this way as well.
This is careers. They're all aimed towards careers. Apprenticeships are generally a minimum of 2,000 hours of on-the-job training with 144 hours of recommended related training instruction. And they can go all the way to 8,000-10,000 hours. So, but the median is about 2 to 4 years. That's a career.
Yes.
And, you know, you've got a career that you can go anywhere in this country and nationally, internationally. You cannot beat that.
And is there a, when you look at your role and the folks that you serve, what is there a need? This is Business Radio X, so we're in conversations with a lot of corporations, small business, enterprise, everybody in between. How can we help support everything that you're doing on behalf of our workforce?
Well, it's become a cliche that we're lacking skilled workforce out there. Apprenticeship has been a proven model.
Forever.
To get a skilled workforce together. You know, and I joke around with people and everything and saying, apprenticeship's even mentioned in the Bible. And you'll get people, while in the presentation, they'll Google that up and they'll get 9 hits on it. But it's true. An apprenticeship in the United States has started in 1911. First program was in Wisconsin. And then it became under the Fitzgerald Act, under an act of Congress, 1937, for the United States. But in Arizona, it was signed into law by Governor Sidney Osborne, March 24th, 1941, and then it became law June 16th, 1941. And it's been around that long, and you'd be amazed at how many people I speak to that have never heard of it. So it's always wonderful to have a new audience, because I always give the best presentations to new audiences.
and so really, word of mouth, continuing to tell the story, having your folks who are succeeding, making sure that they're passing it along to other individuals so that they can take advantage of the programs as well.
Absolutely.
What age of student would you start apprenticing?
Most of the construction ones, when they're dealing with heavy equipment or dangerous equipment, it's 18 years old. That's it's governed by the law. But we created a program recently for a cybersecurity entity, and we have 2 16-year-olds in there. They had their guardian sign on for them, their parents, obviously. And so, 16 is our minimum age for them.
Yeah.
But we're trying to create the career pathway through our career and technical education districts, and we're working on pre-apprenticeships articulation agreements with our community colleges, so the CTE students will receive college credits as they go through their programs in high school. Then when they graduate high school, continue the apprenticeship, shorten down the span that they're in an apprenticeship program, obviously, with credit for previous experience. But industry recognizes that as a skilled-focused applicant at that time. and it eases the attrition rates for programs and companies and helps with their retention.
Wow, fascinating. Thank you for sharing your time with us. Al, tell us how you got involved with Treasures for Teachers.
I was doing workshops with the Arizona Science Center, and I approached Treasures for Teachers a few years ago to see if we could partner up and do professional development, and it's kind of grown from there. I've been doing professional development and training teachers for years, and it's just, I enjoy it, and yeah. I have a lot of fun working with Treasures for Teachers because the workshops are more like playing and creating than they are just sitting and listening to somebody telling them.
Well, and that's how we learn, right?
To
Willie's point.
Right. Yeah.
We have to have an experience.
So it's almost like we're apprenticing teachers.
I would
yeah.
say so.
Yeah.
Well, we can fix that so that you are.
Right. So I mentioned before we went on air that I'm on the board for Treasures for Teachers. Mm-hmm. I was a third grade teacher for years in the Kyrene School District and went on to be an assistant principal and then later was a VP for Pinnacle Education. And I happened to just bring a donation back when Crystal was there as the membership coordinator. Yeah. And she introduced me to Barb Lalick, who's the executive director. And I was blown away by the warehouse and the store and the philosophy and the store behind it. And I've never left.
And they care so much about what they do.
Oh, my gosh. And the passion and the savings. So if you are an educator and you're listening to this segment and you're not familiar with Treasures for Teachers yet, not only do we have a warehouse or store in Tempe, but we just opened the West Valley
right.
at Pendergast School District. Yeah, so now it's a little bit...
I haven't been there yet.
I haven't either, but I can't wait to see it because I know it's just... the folks in the West Valley are thrilled to have it out
there.
They
have a workshop scheduled there. I think the first one is in October.
Okay, so you'll get to be out there sooner than me, probably.
Yeah.
And with Treasures for Teachers, it's only a $35 membership for the year. I know we talked a little bit about the possibility of that price going up. It has not changed in years. But then you have access to any materials you need for STEM, for furniture for your classroom, anything for arts, you name it. Everything is there, and it's all donation-based from big box companies as well as individuals like myself.
I'm also a fifth and sixth grade science and social studies teacher. And
you sleep?
No. But you walk into my classroom, and there are bins of supplies under all the tables. And so it's really a makerspace. And I couldn't have that if it wasn't for Treasures for Teachers.
No, you would put yourself in the poorhouse if you were spending all the money you needed to on those hands-on materials.
Right. Yeah, yeah. My students are constantly creating and making things.
Oh,
yeah.
Love it. So you're currently teaching as well
as I'm a grad student.
Of course you are. Oh, my goodness. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for spending your time with us this afternoon. Before we close the segment, if you could, again, just share your name, the organization that you represent, and where is the best place to find you on the Internet?
Best place to find me? My name is Al Pajak with Treasures for Teachers and the Southwest Makerfest. Best place to find me on the Internet is probably Twitter, and my handle is @STEMNation.
Excellent. And Willie?
And my name is Willie Higgins. I'm the Apprenticeship Program Lead Director. We multiple titles, I guess, but we're with the Department of Economic Security, which is a partner of Arizona at Work. And you can go straight to our website for all information at azapprenticeship.com. And there's lots of good information there. And if you're contemplating a training program, please give us a call. We can help you out.
Excellent. Thanks again. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you.